You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live. Father Richard Kunst here along with
Cindy Jennings.
Coming to you from the Diocese of Duluth, Minnesota. And so make sure you check out that Borealis Chamber Artist. That sounds like a great concert coming up on the 17th of May. So make sure you check that out. And right now we have on the air, we have Lori Beisel. Did I pronounce your last name correctly, Lori?
You did, Father.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we have Lori here. So Lori, first tell us a little bit about yourself. We're going to talk about the archives of the diocese. But besides archives, do you have a life?
I do, yes.
So good. Tell us a little bit about it.
I will. I'm a former Catholic school teacher. I taught first grade for years, and then took some time off from that so that I could spend more time with my children that were, my four children that were in junior high and high school. And then I ended up starting working as an assistant to the archivist at the Diocese of Duluth, and now I've become the actual archivist at the Diocese of Duluth.
So did you have to go to school to become like an archivist?
You can. I did not. I have a degree in elementary education and German, but I have a very long history or interest in history, so that is part of the reason that I've done that. And just being the assistant, I kind of learned the ropes. We're a small diocese, so that makes it much easier for me to do.
And yet, as a small diocese, we do have quite the archives, don't we?
We do. We're very blessed that we have a dedicated space for our archives in the Diocese of Duluth. A lot of the smaller dioceses within the country and other countries don't even have a dedicated space. It's usually a storage room with a bunch of boxes. So we're very blessed that we have that.
And it's not that it's not the archives of the diocese is not like a public place, but I mean, most people will never be able to see the inside of it. But we do have quite a display case. I mean, a number of years ago, I know one of the estates of one of the priests went to do a display. So it's not only just a bunch of boxes, it's also quite beautiful when you walk into the actual space of our archives, isn't it?
You are right. We do have one side of our wall is all display, many different things. That's part of my job, is taking care of those displays, you know, polishing silver, cleaning them out, and things like that, fun things like that. It's most people don't, because it's not a public area, most people don't get to see that. It would be nice at some point that we could do maybe an open house.
No.
That people could come down there and see that portion of the archives.
I think we have done something like that in the past, but it has been a number of years. But so, you know, tell me, what do,
right.
Okay, when you go to, so you don't work, you know, it's not a 40-hour a week job. You're there a couple of days a week. But what is a typical day look like as an archivist in a diocese? I mean, what do you do?
Right. So the actual archives exist because to collect, organize, preserve, and document the history. And for our diocese, it would be the history of the Diocese of Duluth. I also support then the larger mission of the Catholic Church within the boundaries of our diocese. And that support starts with the bishop being the number one person that I would support, the chancellor, our pastoral offices, and the parishes. So much of my day, the 2 days a week that I'm there, that I spend is researching historical questions and things that may come from pastoral staff, parishes, and the faithful within our community. I enter data into some museum software that we have so that it makes it a little bit easier to find it within archives. Taking care of the preservation of some of our older things. We have paintings, we have, you know, different objects that need special care. So just making sure that we can preserve those for future use and display. Obviously general management of records.
So what would you say, I mean, you got a great familiarity with our archives. What are some of the more, what would people be surprised to know that's in the, what's the one thing in our archives that's like maybe the most unique from your perspective that we have in Duluth?
Oh gosh, we have a lot of very interesting things, you know, to a life-size painting of our first bishop. And we have the very last wooden cross that was at the Barriga crossing up near, on the North Shore. Now the one that is there, the monument that is there is actually of stone. So the very last one that was there is a wooden cross. We have that in our display. We have an army chaplain's traveling mask kit that was used during the Vietnam Korea era. We have something I found that was kind of interesting. I was looking through one of our books and I found just an invite to our very first Bishop James McGolrick from President Teddy Roosevelt to attend an Irish Club dinner at the White House. So I found that was kind of interesting.
Did he go?
You know, I don't know.
Well, you're the archivist.
I know, right? I would guess that he did, just because he was very well-traveled, and that would have been a very big interest to him. So I am guessing that he did do that.
So So you said that, you know, you field questions. Questions come into the archives. What are some of the more common questions that you might get from the diocese, from people out in the diocese, about a particular subject that they would reach out to the archives for?
Right. So many times it might be sacramental records that people may be looking for, just because it's something that could be a civil reason. Maybe their name on their baptism certificate is different than what was on their actual birth certificate, and that can cause problems at Social Security. So some people will be looking for that. People ask for pictures and photos and information of different parishes that they may have been at, and if it's a closed parish, then we have more things and information about that people may be able to have. And obviously, if there's a priest or something, or someone that they remember and have high regard, and they would like to have some information about them, that I may be able to help them with that.
So was this already pretty organized when you got there, or is this something that they were in boxes in a closet and you had to like go through everything and organize?
Well, so lucky for me, the archivist that was there prior to me and the archivist that was there prior to her were very involved and cared very much about the history of Duluth, and did a wonderful, excellent job of organizing and displaying and preserving and collecting everything that we do have in the archives right now. I am just managing it right now. So okay. I'm on the good end of
it. And you guys have every...
all the boxes.
You have every baptismal like certificate on file? Is that what, you guys have that for
so
the diocese?
So we do not.
Duluth?
So
okay.
Yeah. So the actual sacramental records are at the parishes.
Okay.
If there is a closed parishes, those sacramental records go to the parish that is closest in proximity to where that parish was. We have copies of records from 1938 and onward, but that is just information. Okay. It's not the actual sacramental record.
So when we're talking about trying to, I think we're trying to beatify.
Let's hear boo.
Yeah. So if that is happening, documented stuff, so we need two documented.
You're talking about once in your boo right now?
Right. Would that be that archive into, because this is kind of your area of expertise too. Would you guys work together to keep that in the archives?
Well, not necessarily miracles. And I was going to get to this a little bit with Lori maybe after the break, but we can address it now in regards to Monsignor Boo. I mean, you don't normally think of archivist work as exciting, but there's something new happening in the Diocese of Duluth that really touches the archives. And maybe, Lori, you can speak a little bit to that. We've got about 2 minutes before the break.
Okay, so we do actually have quite a few things that information about Monsignor Joseph Boo. He is basically considered the patriarch of the Diocese of Duluth. The reason we have a fair amount is because of the forethought of Matt Pergloric, who was a friend and someone who worked with Monsignor Boo in Ely. So because of him, when Boo died in 1922, Matt saved many of the documents and his clothing and other things and then gave a lot of that to the sisters at St. Scholastica, who did a wonderful job in safekeeping all of those items. And now most of that is at the diocese.
Yeah, so maybe, I mean, we'll take a really quick break here, Lori, but what I'd like to do is maybe talk a little bit more specifically about the work with Monsignor Boo, because it is a new thing that's happening in the diocese, and it's kind of an exciting thing from my perspective. And so we'll continue to talk to Lori Beisel about her work in the Diocese of Duluth Archives after this brief break. Please stay with us.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Did you know you can listen to the RPR Network when you're on the go? Just search for Real Presence Radio in your app store. Listen live to any station across the network at any time, so you can stay connected to your local community from wherever you are. Plus, if you miss a program, the Real Presence Radio app is your one-stop shop for local and national podcasts, including our signature show, Real Presence Live. The Real Presence Radio app, with you every step of your faith journey. Download it today and see what you've been missing.
This is Father Bo Brown from the Diocese of Duluth. A lot of times us as Catholics, we struggle with the Holy Spirit because the Father is so approachable. He has a name that's very, that we all know, right, that we can relate to, and the Son as well. And when you get the Holy Spirit, oftentimes He can take this kind of back seat in our relationship with God. And we see early on in the book of Acts and in the disciples in the early life of the church, we see how they live with the Holy Spirit and they express to us what it's like to live with Him and how He both sanctifies what they do and their ministry and gives them special gifts, and also how He sanctifies their own lives. And they talk about how the Spirit brings certain effects in their life, like joy and peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control. So I think it's good for us to think about today. What's our relationship with the Holy Spirit like? Is He a real person in our lives? We have the same kind of relationship with Him that we have with the Father and the Son.
Spring brings the promise of new beginnings. The season reminds us that a new life is always around the corner. We can take inspiration from this and create a little spring of our own by remembering a life that was dear to us. A memorial gift of cash or property is a wonderful way in which to perpetuate the memory of a loved one. Please let us know about a person or persons you would like to remember and the best way we can honor them. For more information, please call Mike at 701-290-4503.
You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Welcome back. Father Richard Kuntz, along with City Jennings, coming to you from Diocese of Duluth, Minnesota. We're talking to Lori Beisel, who is the archivist of the Diocese of Duluth. And we're talking, you know, a little bit about what a person does in the archives as the archivist. And we're talking about Monsignor Boo, who we talked about on the air in the past. very beginning stages of the causes of canonization for this man. We'll see where God brings us. And so maybe, again, speak a little bit more directly, Laurie, about your work with Monsignor Vu. And, of course, I mean, I'm kind of working with you on that sort of stuff as well. So maybe address a little bit about the Monsignor Vu part of the archives.
Okay. So some of the things that we have of his that I get to sit around when I'm working in my archives room. We have an old wood table. The top comes off, and he used it to say mass at as an altar when he would go to homes and the mission churches that he would have gone to. He also has a podium that he used on top of that. He was very resourceful and used whatever wood that he could get. The front of the drawer that's on there is made of live wood edge and things like that. But we also have a wooden trunk that he uses things. One of his more interesting things is his ordos that we have, or his daily planners. He wrote many notes in the margins, like wedding information, baptisms, his travels, daily events, and even put notes in there having to do with what he bought and what he paid for, and, you know, different people's information. Some of it is very legible and some of it not so much, but just that gives us a really good sense of his life and what he did and where he was at. We do have some of his clothing, some of his house cassocks, winter cap.
And those, you know, those, like those ordos and like even letters that he wrote will become very important if the cause of canonization progresses, because then there's a part of the cause of canonization that was a real thorough investigation in the life of the person. And so that type of stuff in an archives is going to be super important for a potential cause for sainthood for Monsignor Vu. Like you said, Laurie, we have all of his, almost all of his years, his calendars, and what he did, and that will be instrumental. And this is the point of archives, isn't it? To retain the history of the diocese for future generations, so it's not lost on us.
Absolutely, that is so important. And not only do we have an ordos, which that is really important because it talked about his daily life and what he wrote down, and he also wrote many letters to different people. We have some of those letters. We have his own account of some of his life. He did a small autobiography. But we also have many writings of many other people, either people that knew him and wrote about him, or people that did a compilation of different, either it was accounts that they heard about or interviews that they've done, in different writings, and put those together having to do with Monsignor Vu, just because they felt that he was someone that was worthy of being written about. And that's important to keep, because since it's been over 100 years since he passed away, we need to have that to know. And this has been continuing. We see it in the 40s and the 50s, when the sisters at Scholastica were writing about it, and up into the 50s and the 60s, they were still doing that. Those things are really important. We do have photos of him, so we know that. We're still looking for a photo of him smiling, but I haven't found that one. He's supposed to have a very keen sense of humor.
Oh. Do you have anything on Father Rich? Like, is there any nice letters coming in about
him? I'm not dead yet. When I die,
you have to have those written before you die.
I think those are in like the personal files. I think those are in the personal files of the bishop, and I'd prefer Lori not to read those letters.
Ooh.
So archives are for I think for people beyond this life a little bit. But Lori, go ahead.
So you're kind of leading the charge on this.
I am.
And
this part.
What would you say, like, what do you guys, what do you need prayers for? What are you waiting for? What do we need?
Well, it's a big part. I was just talking to Lori the other day. I went to the archives and I got something of Monsignor Booz to pray with somebody who is sick in the hospital.
Oh,
that's okay. What you do. You know, I mean, you the idea of praying through the intercession of this person to see whether or not it is in God's divine plan to have this would-be saint be raised to the altars, as we say. And so what we do pray to Monsignor Boo. We do pray for his intercession. We do seek some sort of sign, as we'd call it, maybe a miracle, to authenticate the idea that he is an intercessor. And so that's all part of the process right now. We're reintroducing Monsignor Boo to the people to see the level of the interest in the Holy Spirit guiding the church, is if this is going to move forward or not. And so those of us, like Lori and myself and others that are close to the whole cause, I think we're pretty convicted that this guy certainly is worthy of sainthood. You know, it's just a matter of getting his story out there more. Wouldn't you say, Lori?
Yes.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've always liked Bishop McNicholas's, in his homily, talking about Monsignor Booz and his life of selflessness. And that he said that he lived in Christ and for Christ and for the soul that Christ loved. But I just feel like that really encompasses who Monsignor Boo was.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to learn more about Monsignor Boo, I do have a website. It's josephboo.com. So if you go Joseph Boo, that's BUH.com, you can learn a lot more. I mean, the website's just getting along, but we got a lot of information on there. Just really quick before we let you go, Lori, for the the preview of the next show. You'd mentioned during the break about the idea of parishes submitting information to the archives, like important things that happen in a parish that we don't want to lose in our archives. Can you want to speak to that very quickly?
Absolutely. I mean, this is something that sometimes I will get requests from parishes looking for, they may have a celebration coming up, and they're looking for information. And if I'm not given that at some point, then you don't have that history for later on. So with our faithful and our religious or parishes, giving information that has to do directly with the Diocese of Duluth is really important, so that I can preserve those and collect them,
yeah,
and put them in archives.
Right. That's how we keep the archives, right? I mean, if you're in a parish anywhere in the listening area, you're in a parish, you have some big event that happens, let your diocese know so that they can record that and keep things for the future. So, Lori, thank you very much for joining us, and you did a great job. And I didn't even ask you an off-the-wall question, which I almost always do ask people, but you survived that. So, but keep up the great work, and say hi to all the Canadians up there for us.
Thanks, Lori.
Okay, well, thank you, Father Rich and Cindy.
All right, God bless, Lori. All right, Aaron, can we bring you back on the air?
Yes, hello.
Aaron, tell us about the next show.
All right, well, on the next Real Presence Live, which will be tomorrow, your hosts will be Lynn Devitt and Brandon Clark, coming to you live from Fargo. Their guests will include Deb Call from Memory Cafe, who will join us to talk about how music, exercise, and building relationships can have a significant impact on those experiencing memory loss. And then, Father Kunz, do you like your controversial subjects? You might want to tune in tomorrow.
Ooh.
Because we're going to have Dr. Christopher DeCock on. We will dive into a conversation about what the church teaches about sex and its goodness, while breaking down how this ties in with bioethics and overall health. So I'm sure that'll be a great, possibly controversial topic for us to cover.
That sounds great.
I know, you should be.
I mean, it doesn't sound as exciting as our show.
Well, I mean, it's hard to beat this show.
Well, Aaron, I know, especially when you got Brandon Clark.
I mean, I'm not going to say anything about that.
Okay. Aaron, again, what was your favorite part of today's show?
Well, let's see here. I mean, gosh, it was a really good show. I really liked that we got straight talk. I liked, I believe it was Kenny who had called, and I thought that was so nice just to hear.
That was nice.
Yeah, it's nice just to hear from our listeners. We love the questions and everything, but it's nice just to know that we're appreciating that sort of thing, too. That's really a unique experience we get to hear on air. But I loved all the questions, so we had a phenomenal straight talk segment, so I hope we get to keep giving out all of the various metallic stars of courage and fortitude, yes, and all of that.
Yes, there's three of them.
Yes, three of them. Yes. We'll have to figure out if we get more, we'll have to start naming other medals. Like, this is the titanium star. This is
We're going to stick with the
Olympic. Not everybody gets a star.
Exactly. I'm not
steel
that kind of
star.
Not everybody gets a trophy, Aaron.
Well,
that's not the way I roll.
It's not the same. It's not a participation award. It's a different like ranking. So you're still asserting a hierarchy.
But I do want to give my kudos to Kenny. Kenny
was awesome.
I mean, Kenny, I didn't have a question. I just like his taste in music.
Yeah, it was great.
And he was giving me kudos. So
and
I
father
like
needs
him.
Praise. Cause
I don't need praise, but it's I'm always nice, kidding. Right?
You
Cindy,
do
you
like
do
it.
A great job. See, don't you like
oh,
that?
Oh, what?
See,
did you
even
say
Cindy
it one
does
more
a great
time.
Job.
No, just kidding.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, all right. So, but one day, Aaron, what I'd like you to do is just say, actually, Father Rich, this show was lackluster.
Well, you have to have a lackluster show first.
You sound like Kenny now.
It's the truth. I only ever speak the truth on air.
Okay, well, on the air. Okay, all right. Okay, well, let me tell
I try
you
off
really
the air too, but best I can.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thank you, Aaron, and I cannot wait to be on again next month. And
yeah, absolutely. Looking
we're
forward
on
to
in
it.
A week or two. In a
well,
week.
That's right. We're going to be on next week.
Yes, there's
we're
going to
be raising money next
early
week.
Early tease for the live drive.
Yeah, Wednesday. So, Wednesday from 9 to 11. Oh, no,
be
not
ready.
9. No,
11.
11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Yes. On Wednesday. We'll
save
be back
your money.
On.
Don't be drinking coffee. Save it for next week, and you can donate it.
All right, Cindy, what are you going to do for the rest of your day?
I'm going to go home and clean my house.
Well, that sounds exciting.
I know.
And I'm going to go save souls.
Well, that sounds way more important than
well,
my
we
job.
Each have our roles. All right. Well, no, this has been good, and I look forward to next week as we do the spring live drive, and we're going to raise that money for this incredibly important ministry of Real Presence Radio. So why don't we end with a little brief prayer, all right? In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity to come together once again for Real Presence Live and spreading the gospel through the medium of radio. We pray that the guests that we had will be inspired as they continue their work in Christ, and especially that the listeners that we have listen and inspired to grow closer to Christ as well. That is what is most important about Real Presence Radio. And may Almighty God bless you all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And that is the end of our show, folks. I normally drag out my prayers. I'm not good at dragging out prayers. I'm kind of brief. And so now we've only got a few seconds. Let's say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
See you next week.
See you guys.
This has been Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Real Presence Live brings you inspirational stories of faith and a look at the good and holy things happening in our local area. Weekday mornings from 9 to 11 Central. Tune in for an encore of each show beginning Saturday morning at 6. Get the podcast any time of day or night at yourcatholicradiostation.com or on the Real Presence Radio app. And remember, you can be a part of the conversation through Facebook and Twitter. Real Presence Live. Local, engaging, and live. On the Real Presence Radio Network.